presenting Orson Welles as the Third Man. The Lives of Harry Lime. The fabulous stories of the immortal character, originally created in the story The Third Man, with zither music by Anton Karas.
Her name was Susie, but she was very, very far from being a floozy. She was lovely, and she was a countess, and I mean a genuine countess, too. I can vouch for that. I checked on her ancestry. It pays to be sure about these things. When I first met up with her, she was suffering from a complaint not uncommon among the post-war aristocracy of Western Europe, the main symptoms of which are expensive tastes and a certain emptiness of the purse, if you get what I mean. And that's how we came to team up, in fact. And since Carl and I turned out to be just the supers and Susie was the star, I'll call this little adventure Susie's Cue.
And now, Orson Welles as Harry Lime, the Third Man, in today's story, Susie's Cue.
What brought me to Vienna was a hint that for an astute financier like myself, there was an honest buck or two to be made on the international currency market. Not blank, you understand, just a pale shade of gray. My informant had neglected to mention, however, that the regulations were being policed with ghoulish enthusiasm by the authorities of the four occupying powers, and as four against one is tough odds in any language, be it French, Russian, American, or British, I decided that the lime neck was too valuable a thing to risk being stuck out. There were 3 hours to go before the next plane back to Paris, so I was filling in time in the American bar in the Hotel Continental, reading an afternoon newspaper. At the next table, there was a man and a woman. He was the German officer type, you know, tall and straight-backed with that scar down one cheek. And she was, well, let's just say she had everything, all in the right proportions and all in the right places. As I read on, I was vaguely conscious of the man rising. He left the bar, and then after a while he came back, and the next second he was beside me. With a click of the heels and a stiff military bow,
please forgive this interruption.
Oh, certainly.
See, the bookstall has no newspapers. We are wanting most anxiously to know the result of a case in the court today, which is bound to be reported. Could I possibly be troubling you for a moment?
For my newspaper? Not at all. Here you are, man. Go ahead.
You are being most kind.
So?
Here we are. On the front page, as I thought. Baron Wynne's claim, court order against divorced wife. He has won. Splendid. You hear that, Susie? He has won.
I am so glad.
Your paper. 1,000 thanks.
Oh, well, why not take it over to your friend over there and read the report in detail?
No, it is only the verdict we are wanting.
Ah.
The Baron is being a friend of ours, you see. Again, our grateful thanks. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, old man. Auf Wiedersehen. Curiosity being one of the lime failings, as soon as my heel-pricking friend had returned to his own table, I read the story through. It seemed a certain Baron Dortmunder had been suing his divorced wife for the return of a family heirloom, a diamond necklace, which was reputed to have been owned by Marie Antoinette. And the wife's defense was that it had been a present to her, but the court had ruled this out in order to return the necklace forthwith. So, speculating idly on what chance the fellow would have of disposing of a little thing like this necklace happened to come into his possession, when suddenly there was another click of heels.
Your pardon, please.
Oh, it's you again.
You will forgive this insistence, but are my friend and I correct in believing you to be Herr Lime?
Oh, yes, Lime's my name.
The Herr Lime?
What can I do for you, Herr...
Clausen, Karl Clausen.
Glad to know you, Herr Clausen.
The pleasure is, I'm sure, in you mutual.
Yes, I'm sure. Dear.
You have been reading the story of the Baron's necklace?
Yes, matter of fact, I have. Just
you are finding it of interest?
Oh, yes, in a small way. I'm quite a collector of objets d'art myself.
So it is said.
Yes, well, I had no idea I was so well known, as a matter of fact.
In our business, it is desirable to be well informed.
May I ask, what is your business, Herr Clauser?
Perhaps the same as yours. It is possible you have been wondering how, if one is chancing to possess such a necklace, one would find for it the right buyer.
Huh? Are you a mind-reading act or something?
Yes.
Go right on, please.
And it is occurring to the Countess and myself that you may be interested in a proposition of business.
That's quite possible.
You are following what I mean? I have already a buyer for the necklace at $100,000.
American dollars, old man?
Yeah.
Well, if I fall, no one can say I wasn't tempted. Lead on, Herr Clauser. And that's how I came to meet Susie. Their plan was simple enough. The Baron Dortmunder lived alone, except for a housekeeper and a manservant in a small villa in one of the suburbs. Every Thursday night, the housekeeper went off duty. Next Thursday, Susie planned to get the Baron out of the house by entertaining him at dinner. That left only the manservant. Clauser was to cope with him by calling on the pretense of wanting to see the Baron and then keeping the fellow standing by while he wrote a long note. Meanwhile, with the coast clear upstairs, I was to purloin the necklace.
It is no difficulty, Harry Lyle. The Baron's bedroom is on the first floor, and from it opens a balcony. From the garden, there is a lattice screen that leads to the balcony.
Yes, a child
could climb.
Well, that may be, honey. What I'm trying to tell you is that I'm not a professional thief. Even if I get into the room, what do I do then? I imagine the necklace will be under lock and key, won't it?
You'll, of course, use this key.
Oh, how did you get hold of that?
Oh, I thought perhaps it may be of service someday. So one evening when I was dining with the Baron, he drank a little too much champagne. And when he was not looking, I took an impression of the key and left.
Susie is what you call a maker of opportunity.
Obviously. Well, I'd certainly like to oblige, but...
But what, my friend?
Forgive such a sordid detail, but... What's in it for Harry Lyme?
Of course, we have not yet turned this card.
No, we have not yet turned this card.
How stupid of it. When the necklace is being sold, what say you to 1/5 of the proceeds? Yeah?
Well, I can answer that in one word, Herr Clauser. No.
Mm-hmm. What would Herr Lyme suggest?
A 3-way split, 1/3 each.
You want a third? For me, it is agreed.
But Susie...
Well, what point is there to quibble? Herr Lyme is right. He is the one who takes the risk.
Thank you, Countess. Is that okay with you, Herr Clauser?
If Susie is saying it, I am in accord.
Then it is how you say a deal?
Yes, it's how I say a deal.
Good. Champagne, girl.
Champagne.
Let us drink to our new partnership. And its success.
As we were all living in the one hotel, I saw quite a lot of Susie and Carl in the next couple of days. We were already around to Christian name terms with Carl in tow. That was about as much solid progress as I could make, and it wasn't until Wednesday evening, the night before we planned to relieve the Baron of the necklace, that we managed to grab ourselves a few minutes alone. There was a beer garden next to the hotel with an orchestra that played nothing but waltzes.
Harry, I wish for a while to talk with you.
Well, here I am.
No, it is too crowded here. Too much noise. Where can we go?
What's beyond that gate over there?
Oh, some trees and a lawn.
No people?
No people.
I think we've been wasting our time here. Let's go, honey. As we went through the gate and left the dancers and the music behind, my heart skipped a jump or two, and I had a sort of crazy, excited feeling like a high school boy about to embark on his first love affair. Half of me was saying, go easy, Harry. Don't start something you can't finish. And the other half was longing to take Susie in my arms.
You are seeming a little nervous, Harry. You are not worried about tomorrow night.
Oh, no, of course not. I shouldn't be worried.
You are not forgetting you have joined with Carl and me?
Oh, no, I'm glad.
So am I. It is bringing to me much happiness to have met you. You are so different from every other man I have known. Harry, when is it over? When the necklace is sold and we have divided the money, what will you do?
Well, it mightn't be very healthy to stick around here. I guess I'll go back to Paris.
I shall miss you very much.
Well, why not come too?
If only I could.
What's to stop you?
Oh, Carl.
You mean you and he?
Huh? You have not guessed?
Well, I have wondered a few times.
Once for a little while, we were being lovers. It is all over now since a long time, and we are just what you call associates of business. It is agreed what I do is my own affair, but he is by disposition very jealous, and I am always afraid.
Listen, leave Carl to me. I've handled tougher guys than him. Susie, with the moonlight on your face and in your hair, lovelier than ever.
Am I?
Loveliest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, please, Harry, you mustn't.
I'm crazy about you.
Harry.
You will come with me to Paris, won't you?
Oh, I... Well... I'll try.
Good.
Oh, please let me go. Someone is coming.
Okay, we'll get back to the subject later, I don't know just how much Carl was responsible, but I didn't get a chance to see Susie alone all next day, so the question of the future stayed up in the air. Now, of course, there was something even more important to think about, Operation Necklace. Around about 9 o'clock, Susie went off to keep a dinner date with the Baron. An hour after that, Carl and I left the hotel separately and met again later, according to plan, in a dark laneway that ran beside the Baron's villa. I let myself quietly into the Baron's garden and hid behind a big shrub. Then Carl went openly to the front door and pulled the bell. There was a short pause. And then...
Good evening, Joachim.
Oh, it's you, Herr Klauser.
I crossed the lawn, and in another second I was climbing up the lattice. It was even easier than I'd thought. The latch on the bedroom door was old and loose, and in half a minute was open and I was inside. I switched on a small flashlight, located the safe, turned the key that Susie had given me, and it opened as sweetly as a dream. There was a lot of other stuff in the safe, but it was the necklace I was after. I found it at last, in a plush-lined case. I took one quick glance. Looked all right to me. $100,000 was a bargain basement price for a set of rocks like that. I closed the safe, and then, as I was moving toward the balcony door... It happened. A small chair I failed to see and stumbled into. I paused for a moment, holding my breath. Then I heard feet pounding up the stairway and voices.
Where do you think it came from?
Out the master's bedroom. Quickly, Herr Klauser. This way.
There wasn't any time to escape. I slipped behind a set of heavy curtains by the window, and as I did so, I wondered, was this just an accident? Or had Carl found out about Susie and me? Was this a double cross?
In a moment, Orson Welles returns as Harry Lime, the third man. And now, Orson Welles, as Harry Lime, the third man, continues today's story, Susie's Cue.
In another second, Carl and the Baron's servant were in the room. My hand was on my gun, ready. If it was a double cross, Carl was going to be very sorry indeed. The light clicked on.
No one here, Joachim.
He may be hiding.
Nonsense. You must have imagined it.
Look, Herr Closer. The chair is fallen over. That is no imagination. And the balcony door is unlatched.
But you're sure you locked it?
Quite sure.
In that case, he's probably escaped into the garden.
I see no one. Perhaps he's got here by now.
Herr Closer, will you stay here, please? While I'm going down and telephoning the police.
But is that necessary?
It's what the Herr Baron would do.
All right. Off with you.
Thank you, sir.
You can come out now.
Thanks.
You fool. You're nearly bungling the whole thing.
I warned you this was out of my line.
It's done now. You have the necklace.
Yes, I got the necklace.
You'd better go while there's time. Wait for me in your room.
Okay. See you later, sweetheart. Late, I was back at the hotel. I waited in my room till after midnight when I was just beginning to wonder whether something had gone wrong. There was a cautious knock on the door, repeated three times. It was Carl's signal.
Is everything all right?
Sure, come in.
You have caused me much trouble, Harry. Much embarrassment.
Well, so what? No one can possibly suspect you. You're getting all steamed up about nothing, old man.
This is maybe. But it makes for all of us much difficulty. With luck, the Baron, his loss might not have discovered for many days, by which time we should all be out of Vienna and in the clear. Now the police are active and anything may happen. You have the necklace, sir?
Yes, of course I do.
Let me see.
There. Feast your eyes on that, hmm?
Ah, it is beautiful.
You said it.
I am seeing at midday tomorrow this man who wishes to buy. He will have the money in cash.
Well, before I hand over the necklace, don't you think we should let Susie have a look at it, too? Huh?
Why?
Well, after all, she's in this as much as you and I. Isn't she entitled to some visual proof that I'm handing it over to you? Suppose tomorrow morning you deny that I have. Who's she to believe? You or me?
You are doubting my integrity?
Oh, no, not at all, man. No, not at all. I just like to be sure.
Herr Lime, I remind you I'm a Klauser. That means I'm a gentleman. A gentleman's word is his bond. So that is something perhaps you would not understand.
Now, take it easy, Carl.
Elsewhere and in other circumstances, you would be obliging me to seek satisfaction.
I bet you swung a nifty saber in the good old days at Heidelberg. No need to blow your top now, old
man. The necklace, please.
Times have changed. The necklace? I'm sure. Here you are. Take it. And, Carl.
Yes?
Maybe I did speak a little out of turn. If so, I'm sorry, old man. Oh,
that is all right. We are perhaps both being a little on edge this evening.
No hard feelings?
Of course not, Harry.
That's fine. And by the way, where is Susie now? Have you seen her?
Only for a minute. She was already here at the hotel when I returned. I managed to speak a few words with her.
How did she get along with the Baron?
Oh, it seems that dinner was disturbed abruptly when word came to the Baron of the robbery. So he went off with the police and she came back here. By now, I'm imagining she's asleep.
Well, that mightn't be a bad idea for all of us, one way and another. It's been quite an evening. Good night, Carl.
Good night.
I was disappointed. I sort of hoped Susie would drop in before she called it a night. I waited up another hour on the off chance that she would, but there's no sign of her. So I turned in. Next morning, she wasn't down for breakfast. At 11 o'clock, she still hadn't appeared. I went into the bar and bought myself a drink. Just as I was beginning to get really worried, there she was, looking fresher and lovelier than ever.
Good morning, Harry.
Oh, hello there. Now, where have you been? Why haven't I seen you?
I've had to, as you call it, lie low.
Lie low? Why?
The police.
You say you're being tailed?
Yes.
But how come? How should they possibly suspect you?
I do not think they are suspecting me exactly.
Well?
But they are interested in me because I was last night with the bell. And so, for the time being, I have to be careful. Harry, I have news for you. Important news.
What is it?
I am afraid that Carl, he is how you say, double-crossing us.
You must be wrong, Susie. I grant you he's a bit of a pain in the neck, but after all, he's an aristocrat and a gentleman.
Would you be interested to know that Carl's mother was a waitress in a beer garden?
What?
And that his father died in prison, where he was spending 20 years for robbery with violence?
You're kidding.
And that Carl was brought up in the slums and gutters of Vienna, and that before he was of age, he was three times in jail for picking pockets.
Oh, it can't be true, all that smooth politeness that...
It is true. I am knowing his background, you see. You have given him the necklace.
Sure, last night.
Then perhaps you will explain to me why he has booked a seat, a single seat, on the 1 o'clock plane for Zurich.
Is that a fact, Susie?
Yes, I have checked it for myself.
Well, that's his little game. Well, he needn't think he can get away with it, Susie. No.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get that necklace, of course. In a long and disillusioned career, I've had to deal with many double crosses, and experience has taught me there's only one way to do it. That's to get in first and never give the other guy a chance. So when I burst in on Carl in his room, my gun was already in my hand.
Harry! What is the meaning of this? I do not understand.
You can say that no Capri stuff, old
but
man.
But I assure you...
Don't reach for your pocket either. If this happens to be loaded, it might just go off. The necklace, where is it?
Please... If you would only explain...
You heard me, the necklace. I'll give you 3 seconds. Eins, zwei...
It is in my hip pocket.
All right, turn around.
But I...
Do as you're
you.
Told, no tricks.
Very well.
That's more like it, right. From now on, I'll take charge of this, old man.
Now, if you will please to tell me what this is all about.
Can't you guess, Carl?
I can only assume it is what you call the double cross.
Well, that comes very well from you, you two-timing crook.
This is intolerable.
Now listen to me, Herr Klauser. This is Harry Lime talking, so get it straight. What I was going to say to Carl remained unsaid. For at that moment, the door was flung open. And in burst an inspector and the biggest, toughest cop I'd ever seen.
There is the man, Klauser. Arrest him.
Yes, Herr Inspector.
What is the meaning of this?
Hey, what goes on?
Come along, you.
This is an outrage. I protest.
If Carl had had any sense, he'd have gone quietly, but he started to struggle. So the cop hung a smart one on his jaw, and the subsequent proceedings, as they say in all the best novels, interested Carl no more.
Permit me to offer my congratulations, Herr Lime.
Oh, sure. Quite all right.
You can put that gun away now. You have recovered... The necklace?
The necklace? Oh, yes, it's right here in my pocket.
May I have it, please?
What? Certainly.
The Herr Baron will be most grateful, I am sure. You must have been thinking we would never arrive, but we came as soon as we were receiving the telephone
call. Telephone call? What telephone call?
From the Countess, the lady to whom you gave the message.
Oh, yes, of course.
May I ask, Herr Lime? How it was you first came to suspect Colonel Klauser?
Oh, just a hunch, I guess. Did you say Colonel Klauser?
Why, yes. Were you not knowing he was in the war a famous military officer?
Klauser?
In Bavaria, the Klausers for many generations are being much respected. The Colonel is, how do you call it, the dark sheep of the family.
Yes, I see. You've had dealings with him before, hmm?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, tell me just one thing, Inspector. From your knowledge of him, would you say he's the sort of man who'll double-cross an associate?
No. Impossible. He has many faults, it is true. But always his integrity is impeccable. He is, if I may put it so, the soul of honor.
Oh, well. Duplicity, thy name is woman. I knew most of the answers now, but there were still a few I had to learn. After the inspector had gone, I went looking for Susie. I didn't have to search for long. She was still in the bar, and her greeting to me was as casual as if nothing had happened at all. She seemed more than willing to talk. Certainly, she admitted she'd lied to me about Carl planning a double cross and about his background. Certainly, she'd phoned the police and given them a message purporting to come from me. The further we went, the more baffled I must have looked. But finally, she put a cool hand on mine and smiled at me and said...
Poor Harry. You find it all a little confusing, eh?
Well, maybe I'm not the subtle type, but wouldn't it have been a lot simpler just to denounce both Carl and myself and made a thorough job of it?
But I would never have dreamed to do that.
But why?
I had to get Carl out of the way, it's true. For a long time now, he has been difficult, but with you, it was different.
Well, how?
I have no cause to wish you ill, Harry. Besides, I like you. I like you very much. If there's anything worth to happen to you...
I still don't get it. You know, if Carl didn't plan to double-cross us, he'd have sold the necklace, and then your share would have been $30,000. Isn't that right?
Right.
But as it is, you get nothing.
Ah, but that is where you are wrong. I get the necklace. All of it. To myself.
How come?
It is very simple. You see, when I dined last night with the Baron, he did me the honor to ask me to be his wife.
Harry Lime will be back in just a moment. And now, Harry Lime.
Appearances, like women, are notoriously deceitful. Now take Susie. That's right, you take her. I've got enough trouble of my own. And then there's Carl. Just because Carl said he was an officer and a gentleman, and just because Carl looked like an officer and a gentleman, and even acted like one, I was sure he had to be a fake. Just goes to show you, nowadays you can't trust anybody. So long now.